Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in on tonight. This is the fourth Monday of the month of June. The month is almost over, and we would like to say thank you for taking out the time on this decent night by calling 310-861-2354 for Blog Talk Ministries Iron Sharpening Iron through Smile3E. We are here every Monday night from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to bring to you the awesome Word of God. I am Sylvia Kaiser Wright, your host for tonight. I, myself, and Brandon Kaiser are excited to let you all hear the Word of God, what our guest speaker is going to be speaking on tonight. Before I get into introducing this guest speaker to you, I would like to go into a moment of prayer, and then we'll continue from there. So if you will mute your phones and join in with me. God, I'm just coming to you right now, Lord, asking you to forgive us of every sin, asking you to be our Lord and Savior, asking you to be the God and the only God we desire and we want. God, I'm asking you to just forgive the sins of the world, not just Chicago, but the world, oh Lord. I'm asking you to forgive us for everything we've done willingly, knowingly, and not even aware of. God, I'm just asking you to bless our homes, bless our jobs, bless our cars, bless our finances, God. Bless our desire to want to plant into the body of Christ. Bless us to plant into good ground. God, you said in your word that you will give a blessing to those that bless. And I want to just say, God, I'm just asking you to be a blessing to Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, Apostle Sandra Thomas, and every man and woman of God that speaks on this ministry, God. I'm asking you to cover their family and cover them with your blood to keep all harm, sin, evil, anger, and death and perversion from them and their family. God, I remember when I was a kid, my mother used to say, God, I pray to ask you for wisdom and that my children be straight. God, and we're asking for them to follow the word of God and the abilities that God has given them. God, we just want to say thank you for allowing us to bring forth your word. Thank you for allowing us to be in our right mind, to come to you in the rightful spirit to say, God, even me, Lord. Even me, God, bless me on tonight with the word that will come forth out of this woman of God's mouth. God, let it hit me first, God, and give me the desire to receive it, accept it, and move by it. God, in those words, I'm asking you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I thank you all, and I trust that you all prayed that prayer with me and that you all even added to. So I'm going to say the woman on tonight, I don't personally know her, but our normal speaker for the fourth Monday is Prophet Antoine Thomas. But because his wife was graduating from her nursing class today, amen, hallelujah, she's now Nurse Gino Thomas. So he said it would be someone stepping in his place, Pastor Lori Farmer. She will be talking about the Word of God and letting you know that you too can receive the blessings from God. So before I go any further, I'm going to introduce her to you all and present her to the rest of you all. Pastor Lori Farmer, the line is in your hands.
Amen, amen. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with each and every one of you tonight. I take it as a privilege to even be requested to step in the shoes of Antoine Thomas, amen, and to the shoes of Prophet, amen. We're going to get into the Word of God, and we'll be pulling our text from Acts 1, verses 1 through 3, amen. I know we just prayed, but I'm going to say a short prayer, and then we'll get right in as everyone gets their word prepared. Amen. Acts, the first chapter, verse 1 through 3. I'm asking God tonight, the Spirit of the Lord, I praise you tonight and I thank you for this gathering and allowing us to come together in one purpose. I thank you for the leadership of my house, and I thank you for the word of God that flows from my apostle and the treasure he has given me. He has plowed and tilled and cultivated the ground that affords me the opportunity to speak before your people tonight. I pray tonight that you will use me. Use me tonight to release a word that will impact those listening and will impact those who have pulled their chair up to the table to eat tonight. Use me for your glory, God, and let your spirit of listening and hearing fall tonight. I pray, God, that this word will be applicable to those listening, to their lives, to their families, to their ministries. We count ourselves blessed to be in this place tonight. Anoint, deliver your word in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank him in advance for what he's going to do. Amen. So we're coming out of the book of Acts, the first chapter, verse 1 through 3. And the word of the Lord reads, I'm reading out of the King James Version. The former treaties have I made, O Theopompus, all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Amen. God bless the reading of the word tonight. I come to let you know that there is purpose in being chosen. There is purpose in being chosen. See, in Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus began, he instituted this thing that we call the church. He began this thing called the church, and since he began it, we know that he will be the one to finish it. Amen? He is the God that finishes everything he starts, and he is the God that does not start anything that he won't finish. So if he is the Alpha and the Omega, and if he is the first, he is also the last. And if he is the beginning, then he will be the end. We understand that he is the author, and we know that he is the finisher. He is the one that is the last things. And Jesus said when he was on Calvary, he said that it is finished. He said that it is finished. And when he said that it was finished, he wasn't referring to the work of ministry, but he was referring to the plan of redemption. When he took his last breath, he gave up his life immediately, and the plan of redemption was finished. When he stopped talking, the plan of redemption was set into motion. When the blood and the water flew out of his side and fell onto the ground, it immediately instituted the church. The church will forever be the church because the blood will never, ever fail. It will never lose its power. So that means that everything he's done on Calvary is a done deal. So I don't care if you failed. I don't care what's wrong. I don't care what's happened. I don't care what you're going through. It's a done deal. It's done. It's finished. He included whatever failure you might have done. He included whatever pain you might have gone through. He included it in the plan of redemption. It's already sealed, and it's done forever in his word, and it's settled in heaven. The plan of redemption included the work of ministry. He left it for us to do. I know he said it was finished, but there is work that we have left to do. He gave it to us. He gave it to you. He gave it, and according to 2 Corinthians 5:20, he gave it to us, and also the ministry of reconciliation. He gave it us to have the ability to speak on the behalf of Christ in the earth as an ambassador, for the purpose of reconciling man unto God. We have been given the charge, or we have been given the challenge, to continue what God had begun to do in the books of Acts 1 and 1. He began in the beginning. He began. He was speaking to the ambassadors of Christ in this text, those that were chosen, selected. He reached in and separated the chosen from the pack. Through Jesus, it was finished. He is trying to get us, people of God, to understand that we are not finished. He is finished and it was over, but still we have a race to run. We have to run on and find out what this end of our purpose and what the end of our promise is going to be. I believe God is passing the baton to the church, to run on in his name, not our name, not in our beliefs, not in our ideologies, not in what we think, not in what we protest to be our opinion. But I think he left us this baton so we can run on and speak in his name. If Jesus left us the principles on how to conduct ministry, your ministry, my ministry, then I'm persuaded and of the persuasion that if we're going to get to the next level of ministry, if we're going to propel and catapult and be shifted into the next dimension, then we'll need to duplicate the principles that Jesus had. If we don't, then we'll continue to experience a lot of the mess that we see in church, where we have this so-called man religion, where we have people of God fighting against one another for the sake of the example. Let's use the example of baptism. You're not of my fold because you baptize in Jesus' name, and I baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I thought they were all one and the same. I thought that we were all fighting for the same thing, for the same outcome. I believe for us to be productive and fruitful and strong, we're going to have to use the principles that God left for us. And it's simple instructions, simple strategies. We're going to have to strategize. And with that, I find that a lot of times in church, we get impatient with the process of God. We look at the process of God as punishment of God. I'm speaking to the chosen tonight. I'm speaking to those that stand in leadership. And I'm not pulling out from those that might be laymen, because I believe that we are all leaders. Amen? I believe that we are all leaders in church, but we have to then strategize and use the principles that he left forth. And in that strategy, strategies are something that we plan for, and they can't be rushed. They can't be rushed. Process takes time. And sometimes we get weak and we get weary in our well-doing. Now, like I said, I'm speaking to the people that are chosen. I'm speaking to the ones that have proven themselves. There are things that Jesus wanted to reveal to his disciples. He wanted to reveal them to them. That's why he had them spend time with him. That's why he had them walk with him. That's why he had them sleep with him. That's why they were able to eat with him. That's why they were able to fight with him. He wanted to see what he had amongst him. Until you've been through some trouble with him, and until there's been some times where you can't recognize who he is. Because we know that even his disciples didn't recognize him at times. The time that he was on the water, they didn't even know who he was. They thought he was a ghost. And sometimes when people have been chosen in your church, in your ministry, in your lives, they can't see you correctly. And when they can't see you correctly or understand you, they become afraid and they become vulnerable. They become unstable and they become indifferent. So Jesus took them through a series of tests, just like we should, so that they can qualify to have access, not only to him, but to you. Through the process, we know that one of them fell by the wayside. We know another was destroyed in his own self, and we know another was just straight up the devil. Just straight up the devil. I hear you, God. And after a little while, and after you lead and you've gone through some pruning in your life, and after your ministry has gone through some shaking, and after you've gone through some hardship, and after your gift has been lied on and you've been trampled on, and after you've gone through the courts of what I call public opinion, and after your name and your reputation has been ruined and dragged through the mud, and after you've been crucified and buried, and now people are laughing and they're saying that you're through and that you're dead, and that there's nothing left in you, and there's nothing good that's going to come out of Samaria. After they've been laughing, those are the people that are still walking with you kind of season. Those are the people that are still walking with you in that season. Those are the kind of people that I consider chosen people. Chosen people, they're like what I describe like adhesive. They stick with you until the very end. They'll stick with you even when they don't understand. They'll stick with you even when they might not even agree with what your decisions are through God. I thank God for them. I thank God for the chosen people that he puts in our lives. They are the ones that are there through the rough times and the hard times and the challenging times and the times where the ministry looks like it's not going anywhere, the times where it looks like everything is going to fail, the times where you sometimes don't even know where you're going. All you are relying on is the faith of God. Those are the ones. Those are the ones. The ones that have toiled all night and couldn't catch any fish. Those are the ones. Those are the chosen ones. Those are the ones that you should choose to deposit into. Those are the ones that should have access to you. Those are the ones that should be able to walk closely to you. It's only after they've established themselves a while and shown the quality of themselves that they should be called chosen. You know, I was looking at something today, and I heard something that really stuck in my spirit. And the woman of God said that many of the wealthy places that we consider, we don't even realize that they're close to home. And the wealthy places that she was speaking about were the graveyards, were the very places where the people have died and gone on, and purpose was put in the ground. It's very much like Elisha. After he poured all himself into Gehazi and he turned out to be a wicked servant in some respects, that his mantle fell in the ground. Unlike his father, his mantle fell in the ground because he was busy pouring purpose and pouring vision and pouring things into a vessel that wasn't retaining it. But then she talked about that there's so many people there that is full of purpose. They were full of dreams, visions, songs. They were full of plays that was never written, books that never came to pass, sermons that were never heard, move of gods that were never experienced, miracles that never happened through their hands, through God. Maybe it's because at the time they got weary. Maybe it's because when God said yes, they said no. Maybe at the time it's because they were lazy. Maybe it's because they didn't submit themselves to the way of the Lord. See, and what I'm afraid of now, people of God, I'm afraid that we're raising generations that won't submit, don't want to be told anything. They don't want you to correct them. They don't want you to say anything to them. I consider them high maintenance. And when I say high maintenance, what I mean is it's hard to get them to become stable. It's hard to get them in the right place of God. Everything you say to them, they catch an attitude, or they want to give up, or, you know, 1 minute they're up, 1 minute they're down. They don't want to be told anything. They don't want to be told how to live. They don't want godly instruction. They don't want you to teach them anything because they know everything. You can't talk about the kids. You can't talk about anything that would make them do any kind of self-reflection. And at this time, you know, it gets to a point where they are infection in the church. They become infection, and they begin to infect the ones that have zeal, and now their purpose and their passion is leaving them. And because so many of us as leaders, because I'm talking to the chosen right now, and I'm talking about developing chosen, and I'm talking about developing Davids, amen? I'm talking about being able to get past what we see and understand of where we're going. Because in the truth of the matter, that their pride is sticking in the way, and they got phobias, and they where they've been, they don't want you to love them that way. They don't want to receive love. They don't know how to give love, and they don't want any godly instruction. They don't want anybody to map them, to compass them on the ways they need to go. And they'll probably die. It's sad, but we got to come to the realization everybody's not going to make it in. I'm not telling you to give up on them, but we got to stop wasting our time pouring into things that don't want to be filled. Amen? We got to stop wasting our promises and our passions and our anointing on people that don't want to be filled. They'll probably die with their purpose and their promises locked up inside of them. We don't have a lot of time left. We're living in the last days and the last hours. We don't have as much time as we think. You only have so much. What I call time on the earth is what I call currency. And it's because the currency flows only because we're willing to give up the time that we need in order to allow God to do what he needs. And because we don't have a lot of time, we have to spend it wisely. We have to spend it wisely. We have to know when to use it. We have to watch out for the people that will drain you of your life and of your passion and drain you that, and as soon as they drain you, they move on to the next ministry or to the next place. People that want to drain the life and the strength out of you. Don't let people waste your time or your passion. Because there's one thing that we will never, ever get back, and that's time. So we don't have time to waste on unstable people. A lot of us are chasing after people because we feel that there's a need in our ministry or in our lives, and we don't have time to fill it with people who are going to waste our oil. I said today that to someone that the purpose of ministry is to leave a seed in you. is to leave a seed in you. It's for impartation. It's not for stimulation. A lot of them are not looking to be imparted into. They're not looking to be empowered. They're not looking to be equipped. They're not looking to have the spirit of their leader. They're not looking to be able to glean. They want to have instantaneous stimulation. They want to feel good. They want it to look good. They want to jump on after the book has already been written. They don't want to be part of the story. They want to be a part of the end, when everything is already put together. So they're not looking for impartation. They're looking for stimulation. And people of God, we have to know. We have to discern the ones that have come just to infect the body of Christ and infect the ministry from going forward. I believe that people need to lay still and allow us to cut on them. They need to lay still and allow us to cut on them, because we're assigned to get them to their destiny and their purpose. We're assigned to pull out what God has chosen in them. We're assigned to get them to their destiny and to their purpose. I never seen so many fickle saints in all my life. I told them, I said, God ain't this roller coaster. God ain't the centipede. He ain't a roller coaster ride that one day we're up and one day we're down. He came to give us life and give it more abundantly. So we shouldn't be up here on Sunday because the service was high and it was good, and then all of a sudden, come Wednesday night Bible study, we got to get you all the way back up again. That is not a chosen people. And I'm not saying that we don't get tired. I'm not saying that we don't get weary. Amen. But we know how to put the word on what it needs to be. And the minute that we cross that threshold, the minute that we put on the garment of praise for the heaviness that we might feel from the things that afflict us from life, that we can go on. Amen. Saints shouldn't see the chosen ones going up and down on roller coaster rides. There should come a time in our lives where we have become stable and we have been affected by the word so much that we are stable and grounded and rooted in it. My problem is if you're going to be in my circle, then you're not going to be able to go up and down. You're going to have some stability about you. You're going to have to go ahead and get some, what I call some substance that holds you. Amen. The same way like when you were a baby, you couldn't handle the glory of God when he came in the room. But there are times when you grow and you mature that you are able to handle somewhat of the glory of God in order to be able to go forth and do the things that you know that you need to do. There's a time that I believe that we have to take every thought and bring it into the captivity of the obedience of Jesus Christ. And you have to tell the devil at some time when you're chosen that you're not going to steal my joy today. You should be able to regurgitate everything that has been spoken and has been planted in you. You should be able to be stable. I don't have time. I don't have time, and I don't believe a lot of us leaders have time to chase after unstable people. Now, don't get me wrong, I'll do it if God tells me. But I'm not one of those. I'm not the one that's going to be running all over the city trying to find out where you were on Sunday. I'm not the one that's going to be trying to call you up and find out why you wasn't in Bible study or at a program or in position that you were appointed to as a chosen vessel. I'm not going to be running all over town trying to figure out why my leader or why the chosen vessel that says they're a part of our ministry is not where they're supposed to be. People a lot of times just want you to need them. I'm not, unless God convicts me, I'm not going to be running after It's not that time, it's not that season any longer to be running after the ones that don't want to be sealed. They don't want to be taught. They don't want the Spirit of God to be transferred from you to them. They don't want to be planted. And the Bible says that I like a tree that was planted by the rivers of living water. You're not going to be moved. And, you know, people look at you like you're crazy because they say, hey, aren't you worried about the budget? Aren't you worried about numbers? Aren't you worried about, you know, what people are going to think? I'm not. All I'm worried about is what God thinks. All I'm worried about is what God tells us that we need to do. And whatever he guides, he'll provide. Whatever they're not doing, God will bring provision. He'll bring replacements. We don't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of time to waste. And if we're running all over giving this one and that one our time and giving this one and that one our passion and giving this one and that one, when I say this one and that one, I'm talking about the ones that have holes in them. I'm talking about the ones that's not worthy of what you're pouring in. I'm talking about the Gehazis. I'm talking about those. If we're busy running and giving them this and giving them that, it's called wasted oil. After a while, our oil is wasted. And we don't have time to give away our oil. We don't have time to waste our oil. We don't have time. We have to be selective of the people that we put in our ministries. We have to be selective of the people that we put in place. We have to be selective to understand just because there's a vacancy does not mean that they are qualified for the position. We're talking about chosen people. We're talking about being able to get our ministries to the next level. We're talking about being able to fill our ministries. I don't care if it's just 10. I'd rather have 10 strong than have 100 that isn't. I'd rather have 10 that will support me and be loyal and be obedient and be chasing after God than have 100 that's halfway there as my chosen. We have to stop filling our vacancies with people who want to rush our process, who want to rush the progress, who feel that we're not giving them titles enough. We're not giving it enough, you know, fast enough for them. So because we're not promoting them fast enough, then they have to move on. Well, then let them go. Then let them go. If they got to do it, then tell them do what you got to do and do it quickly. God is watching us. He is looking at what we're doing. As leaders, he's looking at how we serve. I've been telling my church for the last couple of weeks or months, rather, that we have to look at the spirit in which we serve. I'm still talking about chosen people. We have to look at the spirit in which we serve because a lot of times, even though we're loyal, even though we're faithful, even though we're there when the doors open up, even though we clean the church, even though we're there to teach Sunday school, we're there to be a youth minister, we're there to do whatever the need is, we still have to ask ourselves, what spirit are we serving in? Are we serving in a spirit that is pleasing unto God, or are we complaining, or are we murmuring, or are we saying different things to the new ones that allow them to now say, "Oh, maybe I chose the wrong ministry"? Are we killing ideas? Are we killing visions of things that people come to implement and grow in the church? Are we killing them by saying, "Oh, I know exactly what Pastor would want to do. That he wouldn't like that idea. She wouldn't like that idea." Shut up. You don't know what idea we would like. You don't know what we want to do. Just because it might not have worked 2 years ago doesn't mean that it might not be something that's implemented again. Don't kill the spark and the vision in them to want to run on and grow the church because you're at a standstill, because you want it to stay four and no more. We got to be careful of the people and the season and timing, because not everybody that was in position 2, 3, 4 years ago should stay in position now. We should reevaluate, actually, every chance we get to see if we need to repent or we need to remove them into something else because they've lost their passion or they've become discouraged or every time that we continue to save, it's going to rain. We're talking about the chosen. We're talking about the ones that are there to help us move our ministries forward. We're talking to the ones that are supposed to be there to gird us up and hold us up. We're talking about those that every time we say it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And I don't care if it's like Noah, and we've been saying it's going to rain for 100 years. It's going to rain. And you need the people that will stand beside you and not look at what you're building as if it's something foreign, not look at what you're building as if it's something that is not deserving, not look at what you're building and the instructions that God told you to go forth and build it as if it's something that is unrecognizable. Yeah, they never saw it rain before, so they didn't want to believe of the things that Noah was saying. But there's going to come a time that as we continue to pour into the chosen, as they continue to understand and they continue to gird up and be there, that it will rain. We have to be careful, and we have to re-examine, and we have to go back and maybe re-interview the ones that we have put in place that we might, I mean, we have to sit back sometimes and say, why isn't church growing? Why isn't this happening? Why? Maybe because we don't have our chosen people and that we have put people in place just because we needed an MD, or just because we needed a Sunday school teacher or we needed a praise and worship leader or we needed a youth pastor. We have to go back now and say the chosen need to stand up. And the reason that they need to stand up is because holiness is still right. If we're not living anything, if all we have is an anointing and our character doesn't match up, then we need to go back, people of God, and say, okay, that you're not the chosen one to walk with me. You're not the chosen one to eat with me. You're not the chosen one for me to pour my oil into. You're not chosen. You're not the chosen one. You're not the chosen one for me to share kingdom with, because we're trying to build this kingdom. We're not just having church. We're not just coming together for a social club. We're not just coming here so you can meet a man. We're not just coming here so you can meet a woman. We're not just coming here so we can socialize and be together and find out and catch up on your week. That's not what we're here for. We're here to build kingdom, and you have to be serious about the kingdom. We're here to build the kingdom. He chose his apostles. He chose them. Even though one was the devil, I had a lesson a long time ago that there was this one particular individual that was in my church, and I knew they were well, I won't call them the devil, but they were something. And no matter what I did, no matter how I tried, no matter what I said, they would fight me tooth and nail. I mean, they would not do anything. They would not submit. And they were supposed to be a leader in the church. And I remember saying to God, I'm just going to love them with a long-handed spoon. I'm not fitting to keep love here, you know, giving my love and getting thrown back in my face. I'm not going to do that. That was real early in ministry. And he asked me one day, the Spirit of the Lord said, who are you? Who are you to choose who you're going to mother in this house? Who are you to choose who you're going to spend time with or what you consider waste time with? Who are you? He said, he took me back to the remembrance of Jesus when he picked his disciples. He said that he picked 12, and one of them he knew was going to betray him. But he endowed him with the same power, the same anointing. He had gave them the same ability to lay hand on the sick, to cast out demons. He gave him the opportunity to choose. So who are you to say that you're going to give up on her or not be bothered with her but so much? And we have to get to the place, because a lot of times the ones that we're pouring into, the ones that we are expected, or the ones that we see the most potential per se in, maybe not the ones that God has chosen. So sometimes we have to go back as leaders now and say, okay, who are we going to pour into? Because I'm going to be real. I've never seen so many people of God with great anointings and no character. They ain't living a flip. They ain't trying to live a flip. They figure they can come to church. They put it on like Samson, and one day they're going to shake themselves, and it's not going to be there. They whoremongering. They doing all kinds of stuff. They smoking, they drinking, they cussing, they lying. They committing adultery, they homosexuals, you name it, they doing it. And I'm not saying that we don't all sin and we don't all fall short. But there comes a time, we're talking about the chosen. We're not talking about the babies. We're not talking about the ones that are just coming to Christ or still learning Christ. We're talking about the chosen, that's chosen to walk and help to build this kingdom of God in which we're going forth with. We're talking about our 12. We're talking about the ones that are chosen to walk and eat and is taught, who are invited into the most vulnerable parts of our lives, to be able to trust them to come in and see us vulnerable and not go out there and spread it and gossip it and say all things. I remember one day, Lady Jakes, and I'm going to close. I remember one day Lady Jakes said that she didn't want the people of the church to come into the house, and because she had one that came in and went through her things and saw that, you know, the kids, some of the kids wasn't his, and went and spread that, and, you know, one of the couches was sitting on blocks, and the house was a mess because they had, you know, a lot of children and different things, and how we have to be able to trust those that have access to us. We have to be able to choose our chosen well. We have to be able to tap in and discern God, and not just the ones that come with the money and the ones that, you know, seem to have what it takes, the ones that have the form of godliness and can perform well. We have to be able to discern, because there's a purpose in being chosen. There's a purpose that they were assigned to our house. There's a purpose. And we have to be careful that we are identifying those that are the ones that God has to walk with us. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes the purpose goes dim. Sometimes they can't see it. Sometimes you have to pull it out, beat it out, rebuke it out, correct it out, whatever it takes. For them to see it. And then you have others that if they're giving you rebuttal and giving you, you know, all kinds of mouth and all kinds of issues because you're trying to correct them or direct them, then they're not the chosen. They're not the chosen, because there's a purpose in being chosen. There's a purpose. There's a purpose why God sent them to us. And we have to be able to recognize every gift. We have to be able to not only recognize every gift and every anointing, but we have to be able to recognize every flaw that they have in order to get them to grow in the direction that God would have them to grow. Amen? Amen. So there's a purpose. There's a purpose that we're all doing what we're doing. We don't want to get, you know, in front of God one day and everything that we have done has been in vain. We have to make sure that we're doing it in the right spirit and with the right agendas and with the right motivation. Some of us have lost the passion for ministry. Some of us have lost it because ministry really shouldn't be this hard. Ministry really shouldn't be this difficult. It really shouldn't be this hard to get people to come together with a knowledge and an understanding of what God is going to do and how to build church. It's not like it used to be in the old time. They don't come with that mindset. But some of us have lost our zeal and our passion for ministry. It's the fun out of, when I say fun, I don't mean like God is fun, but I mean they took the joy out of ministry. It took the joy out of pastoring. It took the joy out of being a leader. It took the joy out of singing. Whatever you're chosen to do. And I ask God that in all of this, that there is something that will rise up in each and every one of us to see that we have to know and understand what labors among us. And we have to know that if it's us, even as a pastor, that's lost its joy or lost our zeal or has lost our passion or lost our vision or lost our way somewhat because of the trials of ministry, that God will pour it back into us and that he will give us a strength and a boost and revive our passion, refresh us, and bring us back to the place where we can build this kingdom, because we cannot get weary. I see too many churches closing their doors. We cannot get weary in well-doing. We shall reap if we faint not. Amen? Amen.
Thank you so much, woman of God. You have blessed me on tonight. Thank you again, Pastor Farmer. You have blessed me. You have blessed me on tonight with the words you have brought forth from Acts 1:1-3. It's a purpose in being chosen. I thank you. You hit on some things that really touched my heart that people need to understand that they shouldn't be running behind you. They should be running after God. You talked about what they should be saying. They need to be worrying about what God is saying. You talked about wasting oil and how I need to be just concerned with what God is saying, not what man is saying. You talked about sometimes when people can't be about the ministry or for the ministry or helping the ministry grow, they need to learn how to get a shut-up ministry and get about God's business and about being holy and not about what they think. I mean, that touched my heart. That touched me. So I said, God, I haven't heard that in a long time. Sometime you need to have a shut-up ministry and sit down and learn what God is telling you to do. So I thank you for just being there for Pastor Twine tonight, because you really blessed me to remind me, who do you think you are to decide who and what the body of Christ needs. I thank you for telling us about it. Having a discerning spirit to say, God, what did you say? Because I know what I'm saying. Because I am man, and I seem to put, not liabilities, but limited on people that I'm only going to go so far with you. But God, what did you say? I thank you for not having your son go up there and say, Lord, I changed my mind. I don't want to go to Calvary. These crazy people here need to shut up and sit down. They ain't understanding what I'm doing. God, I thank you for loving me unconditionally. I thank you for loving me and choosing me to say, I chose you to hear this word on tonight. So I want to say thank you so much. Thank you for the awesome word of bringing to my attention again a purpose in being chosen. I want to say to everybody that's listening, The lines are open. Please speak into this woman of God's life. Encourage her and let her know how this word on tonight blessed you. You can unmute your phones. Minister Brandon Kaiser, you can unmute the phones so the people could talk. But just encourage Pastor Farmer for coming in and just doing what God told her to do. Remember, it's a purpose in being chosen. The lines are open.
Well, this is Prophet Thomas. I want to say thank you, Pastor Lori, so much for sitting in for us tonight. I caught this pretty much the last few minutes or so of the teaching tonight, but even that was good. I mean, it's always an awesome pleasure to hear you share the word of God, such wisdom, such poise, such power, such revelation. And I do and know and believe there is a purpose, and even this in this day is so key to use discernment, not just with the people that you deal with. Truth of the matter is sometimes you need discernment about yourself to make sure that you're on point. That is such a key thing, because so many people are walking around and just kind of randomly just doing things without any understanding or without any wisdom to it, and end up having consequences beyond what you're able to deal with simply because you didn't walk in wisdom. So we, even those of us who are sitting in the car with me tonight, or we even nodding and commenting on the words that we heard tonight because it was such wisdom, and bless you and continue to do what God has told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Prophet Antoine Thomas, is there anyone else that would like to speak into this woman of God's life on tonight, because she has been a blessing to us, to the body of Christ?
Amen. This is Cecilia. I just want to say ditto to everything you said, Minister Sylvia, and also our Prophet Antoine said, just a blessing on tonight. Like Renee, Minister Sylvia, like you said, you did so many recaps of so much that Pastor shared with us on tonight. And I mean, I would, like you said, I was taking notes too. I was like, okay, reevaluate. You know, she talked about repentance and staying faithful and growth and being kingdom-minded and about building the kingdom and about being a person that is to serve. I mean, like you said, Minister Sylvia, there were so many nuggets. I have quite a few notes that I've taken, and I thank God for you, Pastor, for just reminding us about our purpose, about destiny, about us keeping the zeal and the joy and the passion for the call. Like you said, you're talking to the chosen, not those that are still trying to, drink some milk, but those that are supposed to be the chosen. We're supposed to be those that are passionate about what God has called us to do. And then, as Prophet Antoine said, and then if we find ourselves losing that passion, then we go back, like you said, ma'am, for refreshing, for reviving, so that we can stay fresh, so that we can be examples to those that are in the church and those that are even outside the walls of the church, because we are being read of men everywhere we go. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen.
Yes, thank you, Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, for your comments. Is there anyone else? Don't miss a chance to touch and agree with this woman of God, because she poured out of her spirit on tonight just for us. Don't take a chance to let her know. Don't forget that God has a purpose in you being chosen. Okay, I'm assuming that everyone that's listening is sitting back, rejoicing in the word, receiving what they heard. We're going to end this program tonight with a great amen, a hallelujah, a thank you, Lord. And that God, even me, I needed to hear that word. Pastor, I'm going to ask you, Pastor Farmer, to please pray us out on tonight on the awesome word that you have brought forth.
Amen. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that those that have been listening, God, that we've heard the things that you have said. We've heard your heartbeat. We understand what you are calling forth for us to do. God, that you have revived and you have renewed and you have brought back someone's passion tonight, someone's passion for ministry, someone's passion and zeal for you, God, someone's passion and ministry to run on and see what this end is going to be, God, that this word has poured into their spirit so that they will be able to repent and possibly look at all that's around them and come full circle and make some new decisions, tweak some things, reintroduce some new normals, God. God, we ask right now that your word that was set out, that it will accomplish everything. Everything that you set for it to accomplish. God, we thank you, we praise you, and God, we ask that you will bless your people, God, that your hands will stay upon them, God. Give them new ideas. Give them fresh revelation, God. Oh, God, give them even greater gifts and greater talents, Lord God, that shall be used for the building and the upkeeping of your kingdom. So, God, we bless you tonight. We thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you're going to do and everything that has already been accomplished in the spirit by this word. We bless you and we praise you, and we'll give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you again, woman of God. You have been a blessing. The ministry of Iron Sharpening Iron through Smile 3E. So I want to say to everyone, thank you again for listening in on tonight on Blog Talk. Call back next Monday. It's the first Monday of July. We will be here with you from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget to call in on Fridays, every Friday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to listen to our leader, Elder Kathy Kendall. She's speaking on God Still Heals. And every Sunday morning, we're also here on Blog Talk at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser with Let's Talk. And please don't forget our foundational scripture, which we live by and we carry ourselves by, in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I love you all with the love of the Lord. There's nothing you can do about it. And if you're continually drinking milk, pray to God give you a spirit to desire meat. If you need to get a shut-up ministry, pray to God to give you that you can sit back and learn what he needs for you to do with and for the body of Christ. Good night, everyone.
Good night.